हरिः ओम् तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ओम् ओम् सदाशिवसमारम्भाम् व्यासशङ्करमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्ताम् वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम् श्रुतिस्मृतिपुराणानाम् आलयम् पर्णालयम् नमामि भगवत्पादशङ्करम् लोकशङ्करम् शङ्करम् शङ्कराचार्यम् केशवम् बादरायणम् सूत्रभाष्यकृतौ वन्दे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः ॐ हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ आप्यायन्तु माङ्गानि वाक्प्राणश्चक्षुश्रोत्रमतो बलमिन्द्रियाणि च सर्वाणि सर्वम् ब्रह्मोपनिषदम् माहम् ब्रह्म निराकुर्याम् मा ब्रह्म निराकरोत् अनिराकरणमस्त्वनिराकरणम् मे अस्तु तदात्मनि निरतेय उपनिषत्सु धर्मास्ते मयि सन्तु ते मयि सन्तु ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः नौ वि आर् सीन् दि सेकेण्ड् चाप्टर् सेकेण्ड् सेक्शन् आफ् दि केन उपनिषत् वि हव् रेड् दि फस्ट् मन्त्र इस् स्टिल् द फस्ट् मन्त्र यदि मन्यसे सुवेद इति दभ्रमेवापि नूनम् त्वम् वेत्थ ब्रह्मणो रूपम् यद् अस्य त्वम् यद् अस्य देवेषु नु मीमांस्यमेव ते मन्ये विदितम् The second section of the Kena Upanishad is an important Upanishad. Of course, every section is important. And this section also is equally important. Because the main thing that is highlighted in this second section is the nature of Atma Aparoksha Jnanam or Brahma Aparoksha Jnanam. Otherwise we can say the knowledge of Brahman. We talk about knowledge of Brahman, knowledge of the truth, knowledge of Atma. And that knowledge of Atma is said to be what? Aparoksha Jnanam. And what is the nature of the Aparoksha Jnanam? The whole section presents the nature of Aparoksha Jnanam. And Shankara Bhagavatpada also in his commentary, he is in support of the Upanishads. The presentation of the nature of Atma Jnanam, Aparoksha Jnanam, he also is making it very clear that what is Aparoksha Jnanam, what is the nature of the Aparoksha Jnanam. Why, what is Aparoksha Jnanam? What is the nature of the Aparoksha Jnanam? Why it needs to be presented here? Because we have misconception of self-knowledge. And we talk about, when you say Aparoksha Jnanam means, self-knowledge means people think somebody is said to have the self-knowledge and people say, this person is a realized person. What does he mean by that? This person has realized this self. And this person knows the self. And this person is an enlightened person. And this person has self-experience. These are all experiences. These are the expressions used when they talk about the self-knowledge. Self-realization, self-experience, enlightenment, and one more thing, direct experience of the self. So all these expressions used to mean self-knowledge are wrong expressions, which indicate the misconception of the very nature of aparoksha jnanam. Therefore, the whole section here is presenting the nature of the aparoksha jnanam only. That is why the mantra begins like that. Yadi manyase, O my student, if you think, aham suveda, I know very well, then tvam definitely dabrameva veta brahmanaha rupam. That means you know very little of the nature of the reality. You know very little of Brahman, Paramatma, which means you do not know. Then, that Brahman, the Atma, which you say you know, which is in all the beings, which is in you, that Atma, actually, what you think as known is to be, you have known, is said to be analyzed properly. Mimamsemeva. What you think you know has said to be analyzed properly. Because the teacher results, Rasi Sankara in his presence in his Bhashyam, he begins like this. Evam heya upadeya viparitaha tu atma brahma iti pratyayitaha sishyaha. Now who is the disciple here? The disciple is the one who has been made clear that Brahman is none other than the atma, which is different from the object and, isn't it, the cause and the effect, the known and the unknown. What is Atma? What is Brahman? Brahman is the Atma. What is that Atma? Atma which is distinct from known and the unknown, cause and the effect, the rejectable, desirable and the undesirable, rejectable, acceptable objects of knowledge. Isn't it? When you say Brahman is Atma, immediately what should be the disciple might say, Ahameva Brahma, Ahameva Brahma, iti Sushtu Veda Aham. I know very well, I am Brahman. I know very well, I am Brahman. Thus, if the student, the student may not understand that I know very well I am Brahman. Is it? The student should not have this thinking. In order to help the student not to have this understanding that I know well I know Brahman. I know Brahman. Is it? I know Brahman well. What is it? Ahameva Brahma. Okay? May a student not think. Therefore, iti ashankya. Ashankya means with this intention. With the intention of making the student not to have the wrong thinking that, what now? He knows Brahman well and he is Brahman. Is it? Therefore, then, even though the student says, ஆச்சாரியா சிஷ்ய புத்தி விசாலனார்த்தம் in order to make it very clear for him. When he says, I know Brahman very well, what he means by that? Does he mean it an self-experience? What does he mean by that? What does he mean by saying, I know Brahman, I am Brahman? To make it very clear, to make sure that he doesn't have wrong understanding, he has right understanding. And now, the teacher says, oh my student, if you say you know Brahman, that means you know very little of Brahman's nature. So that means which you do not know Brahman. Okay, therefore he says that. Therefore the student saying, Nanu, Ishta evatu Veda aham iti nischita pratipattihi. Student asking, isn't it desirable that nischita, definite understanding of I know Brahman. I know Brahman if a person has this firm understanding that I know Brahman, that understanding is good, isn't it? If somebody says I know Brahman very well, that's if that understanding, the firm understanding is good, why should you say it's not good? Somebody says, I know Brahman very well, it's good. The understanding is good. He says, Satyam, Ishta Nischita Pratipatihi. Of course, the definite understanding of Brahman being the self is very much desirable. Isn't it? Pratipatihi means understanding here. So, the definite understanding of the self being Brahman is very much desirable, acceptable. No doubt, but I know very well that is not desirable. Okay? What is not right here? Definite understanding of the self being Brahman is appropriate. But what is not appropriate is I know Brahman is not appropriate. Why? Because if a person says, I know Brahman very well, I am Brahman. If somebody says, then what happens? Then Brahman, you are the knower. One sees oneself as the knower, and one then Brahman becomes the object of knowledge. That means what they may think, oh Brahman, this I know Brahman means, how do you know Brahman? I know directly, I have direct experience of Brahman. People think, say all these things. So direct experience is not aparoksha jnanam. Is not the proper, correct knowledge. Therefore, he says, Yadhi Vedyam Vastu Vishayi Bhavati. Anything which is to be known happens to be an object is what? A Vedyam Vastu, a to be known thing, is something what now becomes an object. A known thing is what? An object. Anything known is an object. When you say, I know Brahman, then Brahman is known and you are the knower, and Brahman becomes an object. Therefore, Tat Sushtu Veditam Shakyam. Anything which is known must be an object, then you can know the object very well. An object is something to be known well. Whereas, this is where we stopped here. Dahyam Iva Dagdum Agnehe Dagdum Agnehe Dagduhu to Agnehe Swarupameva. What does it mean? The fire can burn anything in the world, but the fire cannot burn its own nature. Is it? Fire can never burn itself. The fire is capable of burning everything. The fire cannot burn itself. When you say, I know Brahman means, I am Brahman means, isn't it? You cannot. It's like what? It's like saying, fire has burnt itself. How the expression is wrong? Can you ever say, fire has burnt itself? It is as wrong as, isn't it, the expression to say that fire has burnt itself. Similarly, I know Brahman well. And I am Brahman. Even, suppose one hand, suppose imagine, one hand is the subject and other hand becomes the object, then one hand can touch the other, isn't it? One hand can touch the other hand. One becomes subject, one becomes object. You mean two parts like this. Then even one can touch the other. Only one, the same hand, this hand, simultaneously cannot be subject and cannot be object. This hand cannot touch itself. One hand cannot be simultaneously subject and object. This hand can go and touch anything in the world, everything in the world. Even this hand can touch it, the whole world can touch it. This hand simultaneously cannot touch itself. That which is a subject can never be the object. Therefore, like what? Like fire, just as fire cannot burn its own sorupam, it is not practical. Similarly, what he wants to say is, if a person says, I know Brahman very well, means he does not know Brahman. So if Brahman is available for, if Brahman is an object of experience, then definitely Brahman must be either the object of experience or Brahman must be what now? Subject of experience or Brahman must be subject and object of experience. One of the three, isn't it? So Brahman, one thing cannot be simultaneously subject and object. Therefore, we'll be sold out. And Brahman is not an object of... How do we say that Brahman cannot be both subject object of experience? Because logically we know our subject can never be an object of knowledge simultaneously. Isn't it? So I told this. This hand, when it is subject, it is a subject. Now it is touching this hand. But this hand simultaneously cannot be the object also. If it is an object, something else must be subject. One thing cannot be subject and object of an action simultaneously. Therefore, that is logically understandable. So that is one thing is ruled out. And what Brahman is, Brahman an object of knowledge, the experience? No. Brahman is not an object of experience also. How do we know? Because all the Upanishads unanimously speak about the Brahman. Brahman is something which is not an object, not available for objectification. That's why there's so many words implying Brahman being not an object, such as adrishyam, agrahyam, apanipadam, achakshashrotram, isn't it? All these words also reveal what? Brahman being not an object of experience. So from the Shruti we understand Brahman is not an object of experience. Therefore Brahman is not an object. And Brahman, from the Yukti we know, our own using our own reasoning, we can understand that which is subject cannot be object simultaneously. And Brahman is subject also if you say, you will say Brahman is available for direct experience as subject of knowledge also. Isn't it? That means, in which experience? In which experience Brahman is available as subject of knowledge? It's not, isn't it? So Brahman is not something which is available for experience, in a given experience, particular experience. Very serious matter today. I want to tell you, at least one important point I'll tell you. Therefore, Brahman is not, isn't it, subject of experience, not an object of experience, not object an object of experience. So Brahman is not an object of experience at all. Therefore, I have direct experience of Brahman is also wrong understanding, misconception. Then what is aparoksha jnanam then? Aparoksha jnanam is what? See, aparoksham means any knowledge of anything, knowledge or any knowledge of about one's own self is called aparoksham. It can be right knowledge, it can be wrong knowledge also. The right knowledge of one's own self is called aparoksha jnanam. The wrong, isn't it? Wrong knowledge of the self also is what? Aparoksha brahmaha. Aparoksha jnanam, aparoksha brahmaha. So aparoksha means what? Anything pertaining to oneself is called aparoksha, one's own self. Anything pertaining to one's own self is called aparoksha. So knowledge of one's own, right knowledge of one's own self is aparoksha jnanam. And misconceptions and wrong understandings of one's own self is what? Aparoksha brahmaha. Is it clear? God will get it? Aparoksha is a word which used to mean self-knowledge. Anyway. Keep, just be here. Even nobody understands. Anybody is trying to understand. Therefore, what do you understand now? Aparoksha jnanam is not an experiential matter, experiential issue. Okay, if aparoksha jnana is not an experiential issue, then what is it? It is a cognitive issue. Not experiential, cognitive. See, we have many experiences. Listen to me. What does it mean by saying the aparoksha jnanam, the self-knowledge, is not an experiential issue? So you cannot talk about it as direct experience, isn't it? The teacher wants to make sure when the student says, I know Brahman, I am Brahman, isn't it? When he says that self-knowledge should not be taken as direct experience. Well, he says, then why? What is it? Why? It is not an experiential issue at all, it's a cognitive issue, means what is it? See, listen to me carefully. We have been having, always we've been having many, many, many experiences. And these experiences, so actually, these experiences are there. And these experiences, we are now processed also. We have intellect, really, intellect is processing our experiences. Isn't it? Our intellect, we have experiences, and intellect is processing our experiences. When our intellect is processing our experiences, based on this processing of experiences, we also have what now? We have the conclusions all our conclusions, final, isn't it? All our conclusions are based on our processing, isn't it? The intellectual processing of our experiences. I can give an example. For example, we have an experience. Even this, yesterday we were talking in Atmabodha class. What is our experience? When there are lots of clouds in the sky, all the clouds sometimes move very fast. Clouds move very, very fast. And then, in the way, along with the clouds, if you see the sun, moon also, and it looks sometimes as though moon is moving. It's our experience, isn't it? We experience, we see the moon moving. In our experience, what is our perception? We are in our perception, in our, when our experience, we see along with the clouds, moon also is moving. Then this experience, our intellect is what now? Our intellect, human intellect, processes this experience. When the human intellect is processing these experience, then there by as a result of processing this experience, then we arrive at the conclusion. We have a conclusion, isn't it? Concluded knowledge. We have arrived at the conclusion based on this, what now? Processing of our experience. What is the thing? Moon is running fast. Same way. Sun rises in the east, sun sets in the west. Typically in India, we all say this. Because in this country, there is no east, west, south, isn't it? Sun rises every day in one direction. I don't know, right or wrong. But in India, east means you can say exactly east. Here, because the houses are all built, so it's difficult to find out. But we all have this notion, isn't it? I don't know whether you say it here. When the first standard class is what now? No, in some Sanskrit language, we studied this first lesson, kindergarten lesson. Paschime dishi, suryaha udayati, suryaha udayati. The sun rises in the east and sun sets in the west. And it's a conclusion, okay? And this conclusion is what now? Is based on what now? How did we arrive at this conclusion? No, we're processing our experience. The intellect processes this experience. What experience? Every day in our we do perceive sun rising in the east, setting in the west. This is our perception of the sun every day, and this is the experience we have. Therefore, and this our intellect is processing this experience, and thereby arrives at the conclusion: sun is rising in the east, setting in the west. Similarly, what do we say? We have certain some experiences. We have some experiences, and then these based on our intellect is what now? Processing these experiences, and based on the processing of these experiences we have, okay, about the self. We arrive at the conclusion of ourselves. We arrive at the conclusion of the self. What is the conclusion of ourselves? What does one arrive at? What conclusion does one arrive at about oneself? I am a pramata. I am a knower. I am the knower. Aham pramata. This conclusion, isn't it? This is a conclusion. This conclusion, how do you arrive at? I am, with reference to oneself. you have a final concluded notion about yourself. You have concluded. What is that? I am the knower. How do you arrive at that conclusion? How do you arrive at that notion that you are? You're not just a notion, it's a very firm notion about yourself that you are the knower. I am a pramata. How do you arrive at it? Because you processed, isn't it? It's a result of the processing of your experiences. Once you say you are the knower, and you are what? You are the subject of knowledge, an individual, and you become what now? The object of victim. You are the victim, is it? Of the world's problems. I mean, you are victimized individual. Victimized, limited, miserable individual, and the universe is victimizing giant. And you seek the help from Ishvara, the Lord is the only savior. Okay? You are an individual victimized by the universe, and the universe is the victimizing, isn't it? Victimizer, and Param Bhagavan is the savior. Protector. This is the conclusion. Okay? This is the conclusion. This conclusion you arrive at by processing your experiences. And you have the experiences. Because you see every day in day-to-day life, you're the victim. And Vedanta, what does Vedanta say? Now we have to come up to the thing. Why, and is this conclusion right or wrong? It's a misconception. It's a wrong conclusion. Isn't it? When somebody comes and tells you, come on, no. Where does the sun rise? Where does the sun set? No. Sun doesn't rise, sun does not set, sun doesn't move. Sun remains in one place. Earth alone comes around the sun, rotating itself. Where does the moon move? No, the moon doesn't move. It's fixed, firm. Only clouds seem to be moving. The moon doesn't move. It's a misconception. Then the question comes, that means, is my experience wrong, true, untrue? No. Experience is not, your perception is not wrong, isn't it? But the problem, the experience is not the wrong. There's no problem with your experience. Your experience is correct only. Your perception is correct only. But the error is, where is the problem is with what? The problem is in processing your experience. The experiences are not processed properly. Is it clear? So what needs to be, experiences need not be changed, cannot be changed. Isn't it? If the experience can be changed, then why should we have the wrong conclusion? Experiences cannot be changed. Experiences can continue to be the same, no problem. But experiences need to be processed properly. The next question comes. It is improper processing of the experiences. Wrong processing of the experiences gives rise to what now? Wrong conclusions. Therefore, to avoid the wrong conclusion, you have to, what now, reprocess. Okay, the experiences have to be revised. The next question comes, why is our processing of experiences wrong? You get what I'm saying? You give the reason. The wrong conclusion is because of the wrong processing of the experiences. Then why do we process our experiences wrongly? Because of, we process our experiences wrongly because we do not have adequate, proper means of knowledge. Because we lack the appropriate means of knowledge. We have means of knowledge, it is not enough. We have eyes, we have ears, we have nose, etc. We have the means of perception, such as, you know, perception, inference, assumption. Isn't it such that we have many, many means of knowledge? And all these means of knowledge we have, perception, inference, etc., they're all inadequate. Okay? Due to the inadequacy of our means of knowledge, the limitations of the means of knowledge we have, our processing of experiences is wrong, and because of our wrong processing of our experiences, we arrive at wrong conclusions. Is it clear now? Therefore, next question comes, do we need to change the experiences or do we need to process our experiences correctly? Or if we need to process the experiences correctly, then what do we need? We need an extra additional supportive means of knowledge. Is it clear? That's a very important lesson I'm telling. I'm not going to tell anything more than this today. This is a lesson. It's exactly like when you have to see something far from here. You cannot say, when you see your bread or something through physical eyes, you arrive at the conclusion, I see very well. I also say, put on my glasses, very highly powerful glasses. I see here. I don't see any germs here. I don't see any bugs here. Isn't it? Our conclusion. So it's quiet, we can eat it. It's clean, nice, we say. But for us, the same piece of bread, if you put it in the microscope only, you need a microscope, isn't it? So the problem is not with your experience. You don't see anything, isn't it? The experience is okay. What is your experience? I don't see any gems. And your intellect process is processing your experience. And then it sees, okay, I don't see anything, therefore, what is the conclusion? It is a clean bread I can eat. It's not spoiled. But the same piece of bread, when you put it, isn't it? It's because of your inadequacy of your pramanam, your means of knowledge. Your eyes can see, but eyes cannot see. Eyes have limitations. It cannot see much finer things. Inadequate. It is not, is it? It doesn't have the capacity to see through much finer germs, etc. Therefore, even though you wear specs, without specs I can't see in a big forms. And with the specs also, what now? I can't see tiniest ones. isn't it? Therefore, then the conclusion is what? No, I have to, a simple thing. When I use my with my cataract eyes, I can't read anything, and immediately I arrive at my experience is what? Nothing is in front of me. So my conclusion is what? There is nothing in front of me. And Rodaji will come and say, come on, don't say nothing is in front of you. I kept the book in front of you. The book is a very clearly printed book. There's a lot of very clearly printed material you can read. I said, no, nothing is here. Then Rodaji will bring this specs. Come on, put it on and see this. Now something is, isn't it? So this inadequacy of my is a pramanam. Inappropriateness of its incapacity on the part of the pramanam. What now? Is the reason for my wrong processing. And the wrong processing of experience results in wrong conclusion. So to avoid that wrong conclusion, I cannot change my experience. I need to revise my processing. And for revision, in order to revise my processing, I need to have additional appropriate means of knowledge. Then when I add the specs, additional pramanam, support for my pramanam, additional pramanam, okay? Additional pramanam for my original pramanam, then I see what now? My experience becomes what? Revised. Then revised experience results in what now? Right conclusion. Yes, there is a book with the proper clear printing. So this addition of this pramanam, now this specs which is added to my face, eyes, additional, isn't it? Additional pramanam. Addition, isn't it? Added. It will be of no use without my eyes. This itself will be of no use, but without this, my eyes themselves are not adequate to read the fine letters, small letters. Is it clear? So does this additional pramanam change the experience? No. Doesn't change the experience. Isn't it? But it corrects the processing of my experience. Corrects the processing of my experience. Thereby, when the processing of the experience is corrected, then the conclusion that I arrive at also is right conclusion. It's like, do you get what I'm saying? Very important lesson. It's like saying, no? Oh, clouds alone are moving. So moon does not move. But my experience is what? Same experience. Moon also appears to be moving along with the clouds. Sun appears to be rising and setting. My experience is the same. But I process my experience correctly. How? Using the appropriate pramanam. Adding the pramanam. Making my pramanam, isn't it? That means when I am not adequately equipped with proper pramanam, then my processing is wrong processing. When I am endowed with adequately equipped with pramanam, isn't it? I get equipped adequately with the appropriate pramanam, then my processing of experience becomes correct. Thereby, my conclusion I arrive at also is what? Right conclusion. Is it clear? Now, what happens in our experiences are, when we analyze our, we have experiences, we analyze our experiences, and then we process our experiences, our intellect also arrives at the conclusion about ourselves, leave alone about the world, okay, about ourselves. The conclusion, the notion that we have about ourselves, the self-image, isn't it? The notion I have about myself is a conclusion I have arrived at based on the processing of my experiences about me, isn't myself, that I am a pramata. I am a knower individual. I am a knower individual. What now? The whole universe is outside of me, external to me. I am different from the world. The world is different from me. Therefore what? As an individual, the world is almighty world. I am what now? Not at all mighty, isn't it? What happens? Therefore, the mighty one becomes, you know, the non-mighty becomes the victim of almighty world. Isn't it? So, I am the victimized, limited, powerless, helpless, miserable individual, and the whole world is victimizer, and I also need the support of the Lord, the Savior. Triangular format. Understand? This is the conclusion. So, now what does Vedanta say? Your conclusion, the notion you entertain about yourself is wrong notion, wrong conclusion. Vedanta does not say your experiences are wrong, but Vedanta helps us, what now? Because our experiences are right. Experiences are not unreal, is it? But the experiences are not processed properly. Why? Therefore, our conclusions based on our processing of our experience also is wrong. Therefore, and our processing is of experiences is wrong because of the inadequacy of our means of knowledge. I mean, what all means of knowledge we have? We have perception, inference, etc., isn't it? So all those possible, all those means of knowledge we have are inadequate. They're not sufficient enough to, they're not sufficient to process our experiences correctly. Without changing the experiences, we need to correct the processing of our experiences. So revised experiences will give rise to revised conclusion. Revised processing will give rise to revised conclusion, not the experiences. Therefore, what does the Veda do now? Veda does not change your experience. Veda, you already, okay, Veda does not change your experience. All self is already experienced every day, every fraction of second, in every experience, self is experienced. Already ever experienced is the self. Yourself is already experienced, isn't it? Then all effort to know the self, isn't it? The effort is a vain effort. Therefore, Vedanta says, self is already experienced, ever experienced, and self, but it need, Vedanta does not change the experience, nor does Vedanta give you a new experience. Very important lesson. Vedanta does not give you new experience, will not give you new experience. That is why people get tired of Vedanta study. They come to Vedanta classes expecting a new experience to jump on them one day. And they keep on studying for 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years. No experience comes. They wait for some experience. And experience now doesn't come. Because Vedanta is not meant to give you new experience. When new experience does not come, and you get fed up with the teacher, the teaching and the useless thing, nothing has happened. No? So what? Let me go for something new, new age meditation practice. Because we want something new, you see. We want a new experience. Vedanta says, come on, go, get lost. Okay? Go for experience, and your new experience, you will get a new experience. But you'll never have knowledge of Brahman, okay? Any new experience you'll get anywhere, by practicing anything, that experience is what now? Experience, any experience comes and any experience will go. So that's not moksha. Okay, there's no solution. Having a new experience will give you what now? Is not a moksha. You make an effort for new experience. Of course you will get a new experience. The new experience is not a moksha. What you may be very clear, what I want is experience or a moksha. Permanent solution or temporary remedy. Our symptom removal or the disease removal. Be very clear. I'm going to go for that meditation, this meditation. I'm going to try this now newly. I'm going to try this now. I'm going to join this group now. Go wherever you want to go. Have any experience you want to have. But no, understand, any experience is beginning and end. Moksha is not the experience. Moksha is Paramatma Swarupam, the very nature of the reality. It's not an experience. That moksha is only in knowing the truth, reality correctly. The reality is available for recognition only as a self. Therefore, the self-knowledge is aproksha jnanam. And what is aproksha jnanam? You mistake some experience, isn't it? You arrive at some wrong conclusion about the self, then you say it is aproksha jnanam. No. So this way, if you say Brahman is an object of experience, what now? You have new experience of Brahman, is it? Therefore, it is not aparoksha jnanam. We say Brahman is subject of experience also. Brahman is already known, is as the knower, then the very effort is vain. And Brahman cannot be both object and subject of experience. So we know very well. Therefore, what do we have now? Vedanta does not change your experience, need not change your experience. Understand? All that Vedanta does is, Vedanta becomes an additional pramanam to your reasoning, buddhi. Your buddhi, like how your eyes are the pramanam, specs is an additional support for your own pramanam. Vedanta serves as an additional supportive means for your own intellect. Therefore, Vedanta does not give you new experience, nor does it change your old experience. Without changing the old experience, without making any effort to modify the other experience, already existing experience, accepting using the already existing experience, without giving you new experience, all that Vedanta does is it equips you, isn't it, with the adequate pramanam. So that you can process your experiences properly, as a result of which you will arrive at right conclusion about the self. Is it clear now? So Vedanta helps you to arrive at right conclusion. It doesn't give you new experience. Do you see the difference? My God, I have my experience, and then Vedanta only makes me process my experience properly, equips me, isn't it? I become properly equipped with Vedanta to process my experiences properly. Thereby, the right processing of my experiences give rise to the right conclusion. The right conclusion is what now? Even Vedanta doesn't give you. It only just helps you to process your experience correctly. All that Vedanta does is correction of the processing of your experiences, or revised, as it helps you to revise your processing of experiences. Then, that's all, it leaves you. You arrive at right conclusion. You arrive at right conclusion. Firm, doubt-free conclusion. When you understand the sun, the physics study helps you understand what the sun is and how, what the orbits are, what the earth is, etc. Isn't it? Helps you to arrive at what? Process your experience. Oh, my experience. It doesn't change your experience. Physics study doesn't change your experience, isn't it? You still see the sun rising in the east, sun setting in the west. You accept your, you know what I see is perceptually real. But absolutely it is not real. Sun does not move, etc. How? Your experience has been processed. Be correct, isn't it? Well studied. Thereby you arrive at the right conclusion. You do not deny your experience, perception. You do not change your experience, but you have processed your experience. Thereby, you arrive at the right conclusion, right knowledge. Sun does not rise, sun does not set. Prida, Because what does Vedanta do then? Vedanta does the same thing. Nothing changes. You are, as an individual, with your own experiences. Nothing Vedanta changes. Doesn't bring in any new experience. Doesn't change the old experience. All that it helps you is, Vedanta does is, it equips you adequately to process your experiences correctly so that you yourself arrive at the right conclusion. When I wear the specs, my specs does not make me arrive at the right conclusion that there is a book in front of me with clear printing. It equips me with, isn't it, to process my experience. But I arrive at the right conclusion that there is a book in front of me with the clear printing. Isn't it? How to think, such a very, very subtle lesson. Once Vedanta is studied, whether what do you know? First you have aparoksha jnanam. How to have aparoksha jnanam now? Is it? First, Shravanam and Mananam of Vedanta Shastram helps you process your experiences. Of life. Thereby, Shravanam and Mananam helps you to arrive at the right knowledge, right conclusion about yourself. And that right conclusion, right knowledge you have about yourself by processing your experiences with the help of the additional pramanam called Vedanta, Shravanam and Mananam, Vedanta Shravanam and Mananam. The right knowledge is what? Is called aparoksha jnanam. Is it clear now? And what does it mean? Before, now I'll tell you the difference. Before processing my experiences, when I simply arrive at the conclusions based on my experiences. When I was processing my experiences improperly with inadequate pramanam, the experience I had through inadequate pramanam, when I did not process them correctly, then the conclusion I had about myself was that I am a pramata. Is it? I am a pramata, therefore I am an individual, and the world is the victimizer, I am the victimized, and I seek Bhagavan's help, that Bhagavan is the savior who can save me from being victimized by the universe. The wrong conclusion, isn't it? There, when you say, I am a pramata, there I include the mind in me. Is it clear? I include, when I say, I am the knower, I include mind in me, the Atma. That means, becomes identified with the mind. Is it clear? Whereas the right after Shravanam and Mananam, before Shravanam and Mananam, I am a Pramata, wherein mind is included in me. After Shravanam and Mananam, what now? I am Atma, wherein mind also is excluded. Okay? Without including the mind, mind excluded. When the mind is excluded, then what? When the mind is excluded, what am I? The mind is included, I am a knower individual. The mind is excluded, not physically you cannot separate the mind. Cognitively you separate the mind. Understand? Physically you can't separate the mind and Atma here. Cognitively you separate the mind, exclude the mind. Then what am I? The I minus I plus mind is equal to knower Pramata. I minus mind is what? Atma, the pure consciousness. Then when the mind is excluded in cognition, Aham Brahma. Aham Brahma Asmi. The Shravanam and Mananam of Vedanta help you to process your experiences properly. Thereby, you arrive at the right conclusion about the self, wherein you exclude, you separate the mind, isn't it? You discern the Atma from the mind, thereby you understand, I am Brahma, Aham Brahma. I am consciousness means what? I am Brahma. Aham Brahma Asmi. This is called Aparoksha Jnanam. Purida. So does Vedanta give you new experience? Does Vedanta change your experience? What does Vedanta do? It helps you to process your experience. Let me finish what I want to say. Isn't it wonderful?
Yeah.
So beautiful it is, isn't it? I just love this part of teaching. I can't go ahead without telling you all these things. Let me finish it. 1 second. Let me finish it. Just time goes, huh? Yeah. Time passed. It's a very important lesson. Hope you understand this. You got it? Because, no, people say that they come to the class and then they get restless. They want new experience. Even Sean is very happy today. Aren't you happy? It's how to, isn't it? Therefore, Aham Brahmasmi. Then, no, I don't want to be Brahman. See, even if you don't want to be Brahman, you have no choice because you are Brahman. It's like the wave saying, no, I don't want to be ocean. Hey, come on, I don't want to be water. What choice do you have, isn't it? That is the reality. You are Brahma. Whether you want to be or don't want to be, still you are Brahma. Once you arrive at the right conclusion. No, no, I don't want sun to be firm, static. I don't want to be moving. I want him to rise and I want it to set. No, no. Even if you want the sun to rise and set also, it will not happen. Why? Sun is static, doesn't move. Same way you are Brahma. Aham Brahma Asmi. Aparoksha Jnanam. But, next step. This Aparoksha Jnanam, before the Aparoksha Jnanam, before Shravanam and Mananam, you had a different mindset. Let me finish it, then you can, I think your doubt will be resolved. You have a different mindset, isn't it? I am a Pramata, the world is, isn't it, victimized by this universe. But I need to be, I have a different mindset. But now, this new, this conclusion, the right conclusion. Now, in the old mindset will not be effective. Even though Shravanam and Mananam help you to arrive at the right conclusion, but still with the old mindset, isn't it? When you had a previous knowledge, you had a different mindset, isn't it? The previous conclusion, wrong conclusion was there, different mindset, and with the same mindset, with a new conclusion, not new, it's a right conclusion, not a new, right conclusion, is what now? Will not be effective. It is right conclusion, which is aparoksha jnanam, wherein you have, what now? You have excluded the mind. Before, as a pramata, you included mind in you, the atma. In aparoksha jnanam, you excluded the mind, isn't it? Therefore, you are Brahma. This knowledge is very clear, but still it is not effective because of the old mindset. That mindset needs to be revised. But for the changing the mindset alone, you need an effort. You need to make effort. That effort to change the mindset after the aparoksha jnanam is called nididhyasanam. Contemplation. Therefore, there is no such thing called contemplation without the jnanam, aparoksha jnanam. No aparoksha jnanam is possible. Aparoksha jnanam is nothing but right understanding of the self which is already misunderstood. Correction of the already misunderstood self. Misunderstanding of the self. You said, don't wait for new experience. And this nididhyasanam is the contemplation, is the actual meditation. And which, understand? People think we meditate. What do we meditate on? Without doing anything. And that contemplation will result in aparoksha anubhutihi, reveling in one's self. Sthita prajna. It's not self-experience, okay? Aparokshanubhutihi is not self-experience. Aparokshanubhutihi means doubt-free, ascertained understanding of the self wherein one revels in oneself. which is moksha. So, in aparoksha jnanam, before aparoksha jnanam, I am in ignorance, is it? In wrong conclusion when you had, I am a pramata, the knower. And in right knowledge, I am not the pramata. I am not the knower. I am the vitsakshi, witness of the mind. When you pramata means mind is included. The witness of the mind, sakshi, mean wherein you don't say you are sakshi, but you see I am sakshi, the one who witnesses the mind is Atma. I am the sakshi, the one who witnesses the Atma by mere presence, not by action. Once you witness means you have separated yourself from the mind. If the eyes try to see themselves, we see everything in the world. Let us see ourselves. You can see yourselves, no problem. You can never see yourselves. No, I have to. You need mirror. Without the mirror, the poor eyes can never see themselves. And even with the mirror, the eyes can see their own reflection of the eyes, not the original eyes. There is no such thing called eyes seeing their original eyes. Eyes can never see themselves. Eyes can see themselves only in the form of reflection. And the original eyes. And seeing the reflection of eyes, the eyes have doubt. What is the proof that original eyes are? The very proof is what? The reflection of eyes are, and I'm able to see my reflection of eyes itself is the proof that original eyes are. Okay, similarly, in aparoksha jnanam as a pramata, I'm identified with the mind, I am not objective towards the mind, whereas in right knowledge, I am sakshi, not the pramata, not the knower. When in jnanam, aparoksha jnanam, I am sakshi, means the one who witnesses the mind. Therefore, is separated from the mind. Mind is not included in sakshi. In knower, mind is included.
Mind is like a mirror. Can you see that?
No. Shastram is the mirror here. Shastram helps you to see. The mind is you are able to exclude. You can say mind is like mirror also. Yeah. Mind, that in other respect. Yeah. When I say mirror and eyes, I mean the sastra. But here mind is like a mirror. Yeah. Get it? But you can't separate the reflection and the mirror, isn't it? But still you have to know the difference. Then what is reflection? Is it the original eyes? Therefore, the know, if you separate the knower, if in knower, in knower, when I say I am knower, mind is included in me. If I say I am witness, mind is excluded in me, from me. When mind is excluded, a sakshi, I am consciousness. Therefore, aham brahma. Whether I like it or not, aham brahma. When you say brahma, then you have resolved the individuality, resolved the victimized jiva, you have resolved the victimizing universe, you have resolved the savior Ishvara. Where is the savior Ishvara? Where is the victimizing universe? Where is the victimized individual? Therefore he says, sarvasya hi vedituhu swa-atma brahma iti sarva-vedantanam sunischitaha artaha. This is the sunischita, firm, right, isn't it, vision of all the Upanishads or itself. What is that? Atma vedituhu atma. The self of the knower, isn't it? The self of the knower is Brahma. Self of the knower means what? The Sakshi is the self. Isn't it? That Sakshi, the knower, isn't it? When you remove the mind cognitively, the self is Sakshi, which is Brahma. That is what is what? That consciousness excluding the mind, is it? Alone is you, that you alone are Brahma. Then what do? You don't say, after Shravanam and Mananam, after Nididhyasanam, you don't say, I know Brahman very well. I am, what should be the right answer? I am Brahma. Then you are not doing anything, you are claiming. Okay? We'll see what the whole long bhashan we have. We'll see next class.